Welcome to today's podcast, Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message, Faith to Life, the Big Picture.
If you have your bulletin and want to turn on the inside there, I do have an outline for this concluding message this morning from the Faith Factor. Took the month of February to focus on faith. And early on, I suggested, Scripture does, that you cannot be right with God if you don't trust Him. Faith. Synonyms to faith, trust, reliance, dependence, belief. But in essence, the Bible says the righteous will live by faith. If you're going to be right with God, you have to trust Him. And so we looked at the principle of faith. The basic principle of the Christian life is living by faith. And I added two words, or I gave a little cushion there for trust and obedience are essential for us, to trust God and obey Him by faith. We talked about the premises of our faith. The basic premise of faith is that God is real, that He's there. Whoever comes to Him, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, must believe that He exists, first of all. You believe in God? But then He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. What kind of God do you believe in? And so I suggested the basic premises of our faith, that God is real, that God is knowable, and that God is personal. He's a person. He's not ethereal. He's not some force, Star Wars type force that's out there. He's a person. In fact, you're made in His image so that you can relate personally to Him. The basic premises of our faith. The promises of faith. I gave what I thought was a good handout on the promises of faith. And in fact, there's some out in the lobby there that you may want to pick one up if you didn't get one. Promises related to our eternal salvation, to our new identity as Christians. A new identity. He wants to make you into a new kind of person. The basic presence of God that is with us, as He promises. His power to live by. His divine providence. That's an important one for those of us who are struggling with the means to get by, is to look to God and His promises to provide. And finally, the inner peace that God will give from this day forward to that final day. The promises of faith. And then lastly, we talked about the practices of faith, or maybe better said, the practices of the faithful, people who are trusting in God. Thank you, Tony. Practice certain things. I suggested last time that faith walks with God. Faith worships God, as we're doing this morning. But faith also works for God. You show me your faith without works, James said. I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. Trusting God in faith. Now, let me give you a little big picture here of what I envision the Christian life being, just the whole encompassing thing. I'm going to use a drawing that I made. I know it's in there somewhere. There's the original, there's the copy. I think the Bible teaches plainly that every one of us is lost without God. Humanity is lost. It's a lost cause. We're stranded on the island of hopelessness and despair. At some point in your life, perhaps you came to that realization. I'm lost. I'm sunk. I cannot help myself. The good news is there is a great captain, Jesus, who is faithful and true. and he captains the good ship Salvation that comes to rescue those who are stranded and to transport them to the land of eternal life where God dwells. This process we refer to in theological terms as salvation. Salvation. Getting saved, ED, past tense. He saved me. Now we celebrate, as we did this morning, commemorate the crucifixion of Christ, because that was the purchase that was made on our behalf. But there are plenty of people who have yet to avail themselves of that purchase. He's given you free passage if you'll accept it. And too often people don't. They reject it, either out of ignorance or out of unbelief. I don't believe in that stuff. Or I'm not interested. Maybe someday, not yet. And so they remain on the island, even though Captain has extended an invitation to board the ship, that good ship Salvation. Maybe someday, but not today. Those who do, he transports, and I'm going to say this is a simultaneous or an immediate transportation from salvation to sanctification. Notice the word sanctification, saint, take the C out, put an I in there. Saintification. He's sanctifying you and me. Now, this is a process of progress. Technically, in God's mind, it's already accomplished. On earth, it's another story, isn't it? It involves growth and development, spiritual growth and development on your part and my part. As we, and I'm going to use this analogy, as we work our way up the mountain to God. And so we are saved and we are being sanctified and we will ultimately be glorified when you reach the top. Those are three stages, so to speak, of the Christian life. Salvation, sanctification, and glorification. So in terms of the big picture, everyone must locate themselves somewhere in this graph. Jesus said in the end, he will separate humanity as a shepherd separates what? Sheep from goats. Sheep from goats. Everyone, two classes, so to speak. Two divisions. Separated by what? By the cross of Jesus Christ and the individual response that each of us has made to accept or reject the payment that Christ made on your behalf and mine. But the process begins here, and there are many Christians who will stay down low. They really don't progress much. They don't make much progress in this earth. It's slow. And there are others who steadily make their way up, who are growing and developing in their sanctification as they're becoming more and more Christ-like, godly would be another word that the scripture uses for them. Until ultimately in heaven, they reach that glorified state. However, God does that and will do it for you and me. We have yet to find out, don't we? But let's take those stages, and I'm going to add one to sanctification this morning. We'll hold on glorification, but I'm going to suggest that in the process of being sanctified, God also wants you to serve him. You've got work to do. While he's working on you, he wants you to get to work for him. Notice, first of all, salvation, in essence, is trusting in the work of God for me, what God has already done for you. We believe that we have nothing to add to the work of Christ on the cross. I simply accept or reject the payment that he's made on my behalf. I like that verse in Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, a dark and dreary island. We were lost and hopeless until the rescuer comes, our great captain and the good ship Salvation. And he transfers us to the kingdom of his beloved son. This is the kingdom right here. It's the Christian life in essence, where God is king of your life and you're learning to follow his lead. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet what? When you are at your worst, God is at his best. He frequently is, you know. He proves his love, not when you deserve it. Easy to do, to love those who love you back. When you are most unloving, that's when God says, I'm going to die. My son will die for his or her sin. The wages of sin, what is it? It's death. Spiritual death, not only physical death, but eternal separation from God. However, the Bible continues in that same verse, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. Again, we could say what we talked about earlier. You can pay for your own sins. You can pay the wages of your own sin, or you can accept payment for your sins and the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible, why don't you turn over that third verse there, Ephesians 1. Spring series here starting next Sunday. I'm going to highlight from the New Testament the life and letters of the Apostle Paul. I don't know if that's of interest to you, but it is to me. So sorry you're stuck with me for the next couple of months. I'd like to study more about the life of the Apostle Paul and the letters that he wrote, which are contained in the New Testament, 13 of them. And their significance for the churches, not only at that time, but our church today. One of those letters, the book of Ephesians. Paul writes these words here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and following. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, but that's a key phrase there. If you are a believer, if you've entrusted yourself to him, this message of salvation, the gospel about Jesus Christ, he says, when you believed that message, when you accepted Christ, notice what happens. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. He sealed you like a tattoo, indelible, can't remove it. Permanently, you've been marked with his brand. You belong to him. And it's a guarantee, he says, given to us via, notice there, the Holy Spirit. You're marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, next word, guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing you're going to reach the top. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Somebody said, there's no guarantees in life. Boy, that's too true, too often, isn't it? And yet the Bible says, God stepped out and let me. He says, no, I'm going to guarantee you something. If you'll trust me, I guarantee you, I'll save you eternally. Guaranteed. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, my very presence, as a deposit to get you started up the hill. The message of salvation. God demonstrating his love for us. Bringing you to the shore, the land of eternal life. Eternal life does not begin in heaven. Begins on earth. You already have it. You've already started the journey with God forever. That's been given. Because that's the promise he made. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son, John writes in 1 John 5, what else does he or she have? Eternal life. If you have the son of God, you've already got it. You're in. It's yours. Eternal life in Christ. Sanctification is trusting God to work in me. I trust in God's work for me in salvation. But continuing now, I'm going to trust God to work in me, to work out my faith, so to speak, the ability to love him. Notice Philippians 2:13 there. It is God who works where? In you, preposition, to will and to act according to his good purpose, his plan for you. He's working inside of you right now, today. Now, I do believe this is contingent on your obedience. I honestly do. I think you have to collaborate with him. The Bible talks about grieving the Spirit of God for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You and I can grieve God. We can make him sad by resisting him. And all of us have done it, haven't we? But as you and I collaborate with God through his Holy Spirit, he works in us. And he works out his plans and his purposes in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into whose likeness? He wants to make you Christ-like, someone just like the Savior. So we have to ask ourselves, what was Christ like? Well, he was a pretty impressive person. There's never been anyone like Jesus Christ. How could I be like that? I'm not divine. Well, I like what Paul says to the Galatians. He says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, when the Spirit is working in your life, he's going to produce fruit, character qualities that are Christ-like, that are godly. How many of you know the fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Qualities or characteristics that are godly, that are Christ-like, demonstrated in you and in me. That's God's work of sanctifying, of sanctifying us, being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. You're getting there. You're not there yet. None of us are. But we're making progress. We're slowly edging our way up, upward, aren't we? Reaching ultimately glory. Sanctification. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work, where? In you. We would point back to that day. For some people, they can tell you exactly when they were rescued. They have a major conversion experience. Some of you do. And it was life-changing. Others maybe grew up around Christianity, going to church, Christian parents, and you progressively discovered or learned who Christ was. You understood the gospel, and you put your faith in him. And for some, that could have been a slow process where you ultimately could say, you know, I know by this age or at this time, I had accepted Christ. All of us have to have or have some moment, and that's, I think, what he's talking about here. He who began a good work at the start when Christ entered your life, he says he will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to carry you forth. He promises. It's one of those promises that we mentioned earlier of the faith. If you trust him, he'll not only save you, he'll sanctify you. Now, around here, we talk about this idea of spiritual growth and development. If you're growing spiritually, if your faith's growing, what's happening? Well, I think there's three components involved. I think there's three components. It starts in your head. It moves to your heart. And it works itself out with your hands. Head, heart, hands. God begins working in your mind. God will not bypass your mind to change your life. The first avenue of spiritual experience is the mind. The gospel is a message that appeals to your intellect. You can understand it, and you can respond to it as a result. But it doesn't stay in your mind. It's not just head knowledge. God wants to go about, the average person, a foot, maybe a foot and a half, 12 to 16 inches. He wants to move down into your heart region, doesn't he? And he wants to affect not only your intellect, but your emotions. He wants to move you, motives of the heart. And he wants to change you internally in a way that ultimately will reach your hands. It will express itself volitionally in the choices and the decisions and the actions and the reactions and the interactions of your life. Head, heart, hands. One of the ways that the hands manifest themselves, a major way, I think, in Christianity, for Christians, is in service. That third point there. Salvation, sanctification, and service. Now, what does that look like on the mountain? I think you reach down and give somebody else a hand. Somebody else who's trying to make their way. You reach out and you join with him and you pull him up a notch. Or maybe you stand on the shore and you send an email or a text to that guy that's out on the island. How's it doing out there? You ready to come in yet? We're waiting for you. You throw him a line. God wants to use you and your life to make a difference on planet Earth. Every one of you, every one of us contribute to the cause. If you're willing, if you'll trust him in serving Christ. Salvation is trusting in the work of God for me. Sanctification, trusting God to work in me. And service is trusting God to work through me. That's been our theme for the month of February, the faith factor. Faith, trust. And it has everything to do with the Christian, living the Christian life. Salvation, sanctification, and ultimately service. Galatians 5:13, serve one another in love. Oh, okay, I'll go. I know you need some help. I'll be over in just a minute. Yeah, I'm glad to do it. Imagine if I got to our, we don't do date nights, my wife and I, because we're duds at night. We figured that out a while ago. We better go first thing in the morning if we're going to get anything out of this. So on our date morning, which typically is Monday mornings. But imagine if I tell my wife tomorrow morning, all right, honey, it's Monday. What do you want to do today? I'm willing. Let's go. Long as it doesn't cost too much. She just can't wait to get out with Pastor Jim and have a good time. We sat in a stadium for 2 days straight, and she told me, she says, boy, you sure know how to show a girl a good time. Isn't this great, honey? Loving it, man. Wrestlers all over the place. What is the motive and the attitude with which you serve God? The Bible says to serve others. You serve God by serving others, incidentally, in love. Love never fails, Paul tells the Corinthians. It always works. When all else fails, try love. Serve one another in love. I like the acronym that comes from that, S-O-I-L. S-O-I-L. An acronym that I think spells healthy spirituality and maturity. I'll show you a healthy spiritual Christian. It's somebody who's serving others in love. That's the motive, the incentive. And love is not as much as we'd like to make an emotion out of it. Oh, I'm just feeling this warm fuzzies right now, aren't you? Or like the Everly Brothers there, I just lost my loving. Anybody know that song? Well, too bad if you lost your loving feeling. That doesn't mean that you're out of love. Feelings come and go. Don't make those the measure of anything. Let truth, let fact win the day. Love is simply genuine concern for the well-being of others. That's all it is. If you really care, that's what God is looking for. People like you and like me who really care, who are genuinely concerned, whether you feel like it or not. When that baby wakes up in the middle of the night with a wet diaper, you don't get warm fuzzies getting out of bed. I can tell you that from experience. You get up because you really care. You're willing to sacrifice on behalf of that kid, aren't you, Tim? I know that, Rick. And look, honey, I got to work tomorrow. Service, trusting God to work through me. The Bible says that we are God's workmanship. We looked at that verse a couple weeks ago, didn't we? His poema, his work of art, his craftiness, his handiwork. You are God's workmanship, created for good works. Let me rephrase that. Created for works of service, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. He's got a plan and a purpose, and he's put you in motion because he wants to use you to serve in his cause for his purposes, which always relates to people, the needs and concerns of others. I like the way it's stated in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are Christ's ambassadors. What's an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is an official who represents the interests and concerns of his nation or her nation in a foreign place. That's all an ambassador is. God has said, you are my ambassador. You're in a foreign land, and you represent my interests and concerns of heaven on earth. Wow, that's pretty important, isn't it? It's a pretty important position to be in. God's interests and concerns, it's people. It's not hard. It's always people. For God so loved the world. What kind of world? Sinful humanity. He was so concerned. He sent Christ to the rescue. We have a little model that we use, and we've used it since the 90s here at this church. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. Now you write those things, you know, you put together a mission statement, and you always write the ideal, not the reality. If we wrote that in reality, I don't know what percentage would we have to say, 50% are ministers, or 25%, or maybe 75%. Now we're going to go for every member in this church is a minister. You have a ministry. Ministry just means service. Every one of us can serve, not just the professionals. If you run into me at Walmart with one of your friends, don't introduce me as your minister. I'm not your minister. I'm just the pastor at this church. You're the minister. We all have a ministry. Every member, a minister. And ministry just means service, serving others in love. Some of you are doing an excellent job. I appreciate the involvement, not only here in our congregation, boy, a dozen different ministries, like most churches that we carry on at any given time, but many of you are plugged in and involved in the community. You're doing good work. But there's no shortage, or there's no unemployment in the Christian life. Everybody's employable. We need more help. Help wanted everywhere. And you and I can be part of what God is doing in service, really in service to God, by serving others. In conclusion, let me suggest there's a common denominator in these three areas: salvation, sanctification, and service. We've already mentioned it in some of the verses. It's the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to go it alone. Jesus telling his disciples, it was actually the night that he served the Last Supper. He says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send, and the translations vary in different Bibles. I'm going to send another comforter is one translation. Have you seen that one? I like the one that says, I'm going to send another helper. A helper. The word in Greek, paraklesios, para alongside, klesios, call, to call. What does that mean? Well, in Greek, from the Greek, it means God, Jesus is saying he's going to call someone alongside of you. Somebody's going to be called to come alongside of you, to accompany you. In his absence, I'm going to send, in English, the paraclete, a helper, just like me. He's been with you, he told his disciples. He will be where? He's going to be in you. In just a little while, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, is the occurrence in that reference there. You know, we're born of the Spirit, we're sealed by the Spirit, we're empowered by the Spirit, we're to pray in the Spirit, we are convicted by the Spirit, we're to bear fruit in the Spirit, we're to walk in the Spirit, we are gifted by the Spirit. The Spirit is the key to the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life without him. You need help, and so do I. And God says, ever present, the Spirit of God. It's a mystery. Jesus told Nicodemus, he's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but you sure can feel it, can't you? When it's flowing, it makes it, it moves things. He says, so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. I will ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth. And he's going to assist you. He's assisting me in this process of progress as we're making our way to glory. Boy, in terms of application this morning, a couple of things that I want to finish up with. You should have in your bulletin there somewhere, old cart. This is your assignment for the month of March from the Faith Factor, February Faith Factor. I want to give you something to do here. I want to ask you to consider one test of faith. What's a test of faith that you're willing to trust God for the next 30 days, the month of March? I would suspect there may be several in some of your cases, but there's something specific, I'll bet you, that God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me with this one? Can you trust me? Boy, write it down. Just make record of that. Number two, what's a step of faith? Now, that step of faith could be in relationship to the test of faith. Maybe God says, I'm waiting to see if you're going to obey. What are you going to do? And you already know what he wants you to do, or maybe you don't. You're going to have to step out in faith. Or it could be in some other area department. A step of faith in the month of March to apply your faith to life. And then thirdly, who's someone with which I could share my faith? You know anybody that needs God? Anybody? One or two? Are they out there? It's overflowing, isn't it? It's a packed island, all kinds of people that have yet to discover the love of God. What are they waiting for? You. They're waiting for you. Remember years ago hearing a story about a boy that fell off a dock. Tragic scenario, a little kid out in the dock. Those of you who live on the lakes, you know how precarious that is. Keep an eye on the kids. Teach them to swim early. The little kid went out in the dock. He kind of snuck away from the adults, three or four-year-old, and he fell off the end of the dock. And it wasn't 20, 30 seconds, and the adults realized, where's Tommy? Anybody seen Tommy? And it's not here. And they started calling out, Tommy, Tommy, looking around, and somebody went down to the water. And as they looked on both sides, they saw a body underneath the front of the dock, and they jumped in and they reached out, and it was Tommy hanging on to the post underwater. And they pulled him up, and the kid sputtered his gasp for air and cried out, and thankfully was alive. Worst case scenario, wasn't it? And so they took Tommy up, and that dad just couldn't let him go. Couldn't imagine losing little Tommy. And he's just, Tommy, what happened, son? What were you doing? What were you doing down there? And little Tommy's words to his dad, it's waiting for you, Dad. It was waiting for you, Dad. It's waiting for you. I wonder if you know somebody who's drowning today. Who's waiting for you? You got enough time in your schedule? You have an inkling that maybe God wants to do something bigger than what's on your agenda? He wants to use you. He wants to use me to make a difference in the life of someone who could come to the Lord, who could grow in their faith, and who could spend eternity in glory thanks to you. Ultimately, thanks to God. But God uses people to reach people. He still does. I know he uses angels now and then. I mean, he could write it in the clouds if he wanted. I'm up here, believe in me. But the basic way that God works is through people. Regular, ordinary people, just like you. And just like you. me. Waiting for you, Dad. I'm waiting for you. You know somebody like that? I challenge you to fill in the card. Stick it somewhere where you can see it, on the dashboard of your car, mirror in the bathroom. You know where that could be. And ask God to show you how to put your faith in practice, to bring faith to life, the daily life that you and I live. Affirm the importance of faith. Confirm your own faith in God. Choose to further develop your faith. And then finally, as we just suggested, be ready to share your faith with somebody else. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning as we, all of us, wrangle with this important, really life-altering element of Christianity, faith, the faith factor, learning to trust you and obey. And for good reason, because we're coming to know you as the living God, all that you represent for us. We're learning your promises and what you will do for us if and when we trust you. And we're working out our faith through basic practices, walking with you daily, worshiping, and even as we're talking about now, working or serving in the cause. Like the disciples of old, Lord, we ask you to increase our faith. Strengthen our ability to trust, willingness to trust, and help us to work that out maybe 100 times every day. As we do. But we thank you this morning for your patience, your kindness towards us, that you are faithful, that you are, as is recorded in the Old Testament, the Amen God. The Amen God. Amen. You are sure and certain that Jesus is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, as Revelation tells us. He is sure and certain. And for that reason, we can be too. So we thank you and commit this venture, our efforts, as we work our way up the hill, as you are sanctifying us, may we serve your purposes as well on behalf of others. That's our prayer today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.